Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Real Talk, a movie podcast. We are your go-to source for ratings and recommendations of past and present films. I am your host, Wes Jones, podcasting from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Hey, this is Tommy, podcasting straight from Nashville, Tennessee.
The Movie Buddy Conway, podcasting from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Welcome back to our Oscar episodes. So as you all who've been listening a while now know that we always do a Oscar nominations episode every year. And then after the actual Oscar telecast, we always try to get the group back together and do a post-cap of the show where we really just talk about the Oscar show itself, which is, of course, as you all know, Hollywood's biggest night. We talk through the winners, things we liked about the show, things we disliked about the show, and really everything in between. So that's what we're doing tonight. So sit back, grab your popcorn, and let's talk about Oscars 2023. So for this episode, we have a great cast and crew with us. Of course, our friend Matt Hosley, he could not join us tonight, but I know he's going to be listening out there. And I want to know how he did on his Oscar predictions. But we do have our good friend, Nathan Bartleby. Nathan, come on in here, man. How's it going? Of course, like we talked about last time, you're part of Phantom Galaxy. So tell everybody what Phantom Galaxy is if they don't know about it yet.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on. Phantom Galaxy is another podcast. We look at science fiction, fantasy, and horror movies. We're expanding a little bit. We're looking a lot more than that. We're just adjusting the format a little bit. I had about seven different kind of podcasts over there where we looked at animated films and things that are on video and DVD and Blu-ray. And then we also looked at video games and music. So we're trying to kind of streamline it. So there's everything still there, but you're going to get it in chunks more often. So
you're kind of like a Renaissance man.
You can
where I can do nothing. So you're the exact
do a whole lot, maybe not all that well.
Right. I always hear about
the jack of all trades, master of none sort of.
Exactly. That's how I feel like I am. I can do a lot of things like very subpar, but above, like nothing good or even above that. So I don't know what that makes me, but
highly adequate.
Exactly. But no, so glad to have you back on the show and excited to talk about the Oscars with you. And we also have Gabe, the Buddy Movie Conway. So Gabe, get on in here, man. How are you feeling about tonight's episode and talking about the Oscars?
Well, I feel like this Oscars has been strange to me, man. Ever since I watched the Oscars, I feel like I've been just dodging the stomach bug, because during the Oscars, you got the stomach bug. Then the very next night, my son Jack gets the stomach bug, and I'm up all night cleaning up after him and up with him all night. Then my friend Andrew at work gets it that sits right next to me. Then my friend Eric gets it yesterday, and I'm like, so you know what? Have you guys
Gabe,
ever watched?
You know what I have right now as we're talking? The stomach bug.
Nathan's got it too.
The whole family's had it since the beginning of the week.
Oh my gosh. I feel like, have you guys ever watched How I Met Your Mother when Barney can either get slapped 10 times, like right then, or he can get 5 slaps whenever Marshall wants to slap him? Like it could just be random. The anticipation's killing me. I've been around so many people with the stomach bug. I'm going to get it at some point.
Doesn't matter when.
Any burp like that I have like scares me. Like I almost go into tears anytime, like, and I don't want it. So that's what this Oscar is.
Just reject it. Just say no.
Let me just set the scene for everybody. I'm not going to get graphic at all, but I will just let everybody know that, during the Oscars, I got a sudden case of food poisoning and I kind of tapped out of the Oscars about halfway. So it was really unexpected and everything was going good. And I know there's been jokes about there. Maybe the Oscar telecast itself got me sick. I'm not exactly sure.
was the whale, the wind.
Yeah.
Right?
When I saw the whale starting to win, I was like, no, I'm out. I'm starting to get sick. But I, watched some of the awards on YouTube. So all is well, and I'm better now. So I want to ask you.
No, you guys are normally together when you watch them, correct?
Yes, Gabe and I were together.
We were together.
So you had to like quickly vacate.
Gabe left.
Yeah, Gabe I left.
Seems like it's getting too real for me. I'm gonna bounce.
Yeah, honestly, he said my stomach's been bothering me. He goes, and I don't feel good. And I said, all right, well, I'll see you later, buddy. And I left.
Hey, don't mess around.
I don't mess around.
I don't blame him. So, yeah, so that was my night with the Oscars. I hope everybody out there listening had a better night than me while watching it. And, you know, of course, I can't give my full – every year we like to kind of just talk about the show and what we liked and disliked, our best moments, worst moments. I can't do it as well as I usually can because, of course, I missed about at least an hour of it, and I was kind of in and out that last hour, to be honest with you. But I will say of the show that I did watch, I would consider this a – like the grade I would give it would be like a B-. I'll say that it was easily better than the last 2 years, which I consider the two worst telecasts I've seen for the Oscars. And – it was kind of like the bare minimum of how good an Oscar show could be. If the Oscars can
literally in some cases
be this good, right? At least be this good, but hopefully in some years be better, then I think the Oscars, that's a good showing for them. It doesn't need to go any below this, though. It was kind of, I would say, just kind of paint by the numbers. There wasn't like a lot of surprises with the show. I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a good job. He had some good jokes. Nothing great, though. There weren't enough montages, I didn't think. Of course, I love montages, so I needed more montages. And, of course, I feel like the speeches and the people that win the awards, those are always the best moments of the show anyway. And so I thought there were some good speeches in there. There weren't a lot of surprises with the winners, I didn't think. I mean, Everything Everywhere at Once, we haven't really talked about it yet, but it really kind of ran the table. It won 7 awards and 7 major awards, which is really unheard of almost. So that was,
and All Quiet on the Western Front ran the rest of the table almost.
Yeah.
I think, what did it win, 6 or 5?
Yeah, it was like the technical winner. It just sort of like, which I thought like it kind of blew Maverick out of the water in that regard.
Right. Yeah, Maverick didn't have much of a showing at all. So they definitely didn't spread the wealth. And of course, it didn't have the high level excitement that last year's did with the slap. But I still thought it was a very competent show, very well made. And it moved along, even though it was still like 3 hours and 40 minutes. I don't know how that happened. And so, like I said, I thought it was a decent show. What about you guys? Like, let me know, what do you all think about the show? You all, of course, watched it more than I did.
I think the show this year was better. I like that there weren't the cut like categories, but in all truth, I think they should cut the small categories. They should have those like shown at a different time from the main telecast. I'm sorry, Nathan. I know you watch them all and you love them. And I'm sorry to My Year of Dicks because I don't feel like I should do that disservice, but I think they should cut those from the major telecast, like the Teeny Awards. But I thought this year was really good. I thought all the music performances were really good, except for one. And then I thought the host was average, but was perfectly adequate. I thought the telecast itself was perfectly adequate. I don't know if I like the studio montages that we got, but they were okay. I appreciate how they.
I don't know what. Oh, I'm glad you brought those up, Gabe. I don't know what those were. Like, we've got to talk about this. I know, Nathan, we want to get your review, too, real quick. But I just got to pause because I don't want to lose this thread. Why on earth was there a Disney studio?
Warner Brothers studio?
And a Warner Brothers trailer.
But let's address that for a second. Because if we go back to our after show last year, the show that we did to wrap this up. And I think you guys had me on then. We talked about, well, what will we do differently? And one of the things, and we did not make this suggestion. I'm not saying we made this suggestion.
Sure, right.
But I think we did make a suggestion. I think I did at least, is saying something like, because we had all those dumb things last year where it was like, vote for the best audience award. And it almost turned into like the MTV Movie Awards with like almost a random, some rando Johnny Depp movie nobody's ever heard of being nominated and, you know, stupid stuff.
That was awful.
Yeah. And like, you know, Snyder's movie is like movie of the year or something, you know, that kind of stuff was stupid. What we were suggesting was this is a time when movie lovers are, you know, theoretically getting together and watching this show. So why not have some kind of highlight on maybe movies that are coming out or what, you know, studios have, the same way the Super Bowl used to be a big deal in terms of, hey, we know there's going to be big movie commercials or trailers. It doesn't matter anymore. Trailers pop online immediately. But back in, you know, the mid 90s, it's like, where am I going to see the trailer for Independence Day except in the middle of the Super Bowl or something like that? So I think we had said, well, what if they did use a segment there where you had an opportunity to either highlight an aspect of a studio or a film or something? But this was just like kind of like half thought out commercials, half baked. You know, it was sort of like, hey, let me show you the trailer for The Little Mermaid. And it looks just about as, you know, pedestrian as you figured it would. And then if you guys want to see it, that's fine. I'm just saying it, you know, it didn't look any different than I was expecting. Bad. Yeah. And then the Warner Brothers thing was sort of like, yeah, it seemed like there was a grain of a good idea there was,
right.
But I would rather see, you know, I have those studios put together something actually maybe substantial, like, hey, here's, if you want to do a look at The Little Mermaid, then do that. Or if you want to do a look back, pick something from your back history that you actually want to sort of educate people about. Some of the things I did like were the few moments when they talked about cinematography and some of those smaller awards. I do think we need to know a little bit more about, well, what does it mean? You know, we've talked about, I don't think your average person is going to absolutely intuit exactly what goes into the sound design and things like that. I liked that they took a few minutes. Yeah. They took a few minutes to, when they did the cinematography and they had the Stars of Creed come out there and they were taught when you had, they were talking about the cinematographers and how they used to do things with the cameras. I liked that. I thought that was pretty cool. And having all of that there was interesting. I think it was a pretty good telecast. I got to watch with my kids, and again, nobody got hit this time, so that was positive. But
that's improvement.
Yeah, but I did like that as we were talking about the categories, there was a little bit of a smidge of film history, or let's make the focus on films, because, yeah, I don't really care about everything that the celebrities are wearing. I don't necessarily want to see the celebrities get roasted by the host at the tables. And all of that stuff was cut way back, which was great. But what was there was, like, super awkward because they were afraid to commit to it. You know, so, like, when Jimmy Kimmel's walking around to the tables, I mean, thankfully the Cocaine Bear showed up to crawl around behind him. But, like, that stuff was probably maybe the most cringy only because it was clear he didn't want to be saying it. They didn't want to hear it. I just ditched that stuff completely.
No, I think you're exactly right, Nathan. I think you hit it on the head that the good things about this show is I feel like last year especially, they were almost embarrassed to be the Academy Awards.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
A joke. Everything was irreverent. Everything, they were making fun of all the movies, and it's like, that's not what the Academy Awards should be. It should be like a celebration of this art form, celebration of all these awards and the nominees and the winners. And I think they did a much better job this year of doing that. Because if they can continue to do that, then people will be more passionate about the Academy Awards. I think there's a lots of reasons why ratings have been down. One, of course, all TV is down, really. That's probably the number one reason. But I think it doesn't help when the Academy Awards tries to make their own show a joke, which they've done over the past few years, because then why are people even watching? It's like, well, they think they think it's a joke. Why should I watch it if they think it's a joke? So I think they did a much better job this year of actually honoring the movies, honoring the people who are making the movies, which is kind of the whole point of the Academy Awards. And I agree with you, Nathan. I think that was a good idea about, you know, what they should do, I think, is give every major studio, like, an option. Okay, you need to save one of your big movies to premiere the trailer during the Oscars and give them, like, a free window where they can premiere, like, you know, their big movie. Like, Warner Brothers could do the premiere of Barbie. You know, something like that. Disney could have done The Little Mermaid.
That'd be good. I'm still trying to figure out what that Barbie movie's about.
See? And exactly. I am, too. They haven't really released other than a short teaser. And that could have been a way to drum up publicity. So I think they're on the right path with this idea. I just don't think it's crystallized yet. And I also read, I thought this was kind of interesting, that they actually gave every studio an option to do the same thing that Warner Brothers and Disney did, to basically have like a little trailer. And Warner Brothers decided to do like the history of Warner Brothers, and Disney decided to do The Little Mermaid, but it also cost like, I don't know if this is right, but I think it was like $10 million or something. It was a lot of money for these studios to do this. So that's probably why you didn't see every studio.
Right. There was no A24 reel up there.
Right, right.
Even though A24 has the best picture under its belt now.
Yeah, A24 is like, we don't need that. Well, this is their second, right? Didn't they also do Moonlight?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so they've got two now in like a 5-year span. That's pretty impressive. They are.
And if the Academy nominated horror movies, they might have like 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's a bridge they still have to cross, right? They're still not doing the horror movie genre. Maybe one day as the body changes. You know, and I think you're already seeing that a little bit with Everything Everywhere at Once. And so, and before we get into the awards, I do want to talk about, you know, best moment and worst moment. So I want to throw it to you guys first because you saw more of the show than I did. Gabe, what was your best moment and worst moment of the show? I think Gabe left. He said, Gabe pulled a mate.
He's speechless. He's got a stomach virus in him. That's what
guys,
happened.
I thought you guys just weren't listening to me. I tried to jump in a couple times back there before I got into my thing, and I just now realized I was muted. So Gabe, one thing that I will say,
these guys don't care what I say.
No, I know. So I want to finish with the last section before I go to my favorite thing. Yeah. The thing I really liked about this also was the in memoriam, however you say that section. Yeah. I liked how they had live music while they were going through it. I thought it was a really smooth one this year. However, there was a lot of fallout because a lot of people were upset that Tom Sizemore, Anne Heche, and Paul Sorvino were not mentioned in the In Memoriam section. So while the Oscars may have left these actors out, Real Talk did not.
It's so strange. You know, the Oscars, they can't, you know, they can never win. They're like, what do you want from us, you know? But it is, the Paul Sorvino one's very strange. How do you leave out Paul Sorvino?
I mean, I'm not sure. Yeah. But you know who didn't? Real Talk didn't. We would like to recognize Tom Sizemore, Anne Heche, and Paul Sorvino right now.
I call for an entire episode of just about The Relic alone.
Yes, The Relic. That would be a good one.
But no, I like
The Relic, Volcano, and I don't know, a Paul Sorvino movie.
Yeah, one of the worst Paul Sorvino. We'll have to find a Paul Sorvino.
I liked the montages could have been better, but I love the performances, and I love them more in memoriam section. But anyway, so my favorite part of the Oscars and my least favorite. My favorite part of the Oscars this year by far, well, I have two favorite parts. Favorite part number one was Brendan Fraser winning for The Whale. Man, that hit all the
favorite fears. Part, Gabe. I said worst, not, are you saying worst part or favorite part?
Favorite part.
He's just messing with you now.
I know he is. I mean, it hit all the feels because he had pretty much been shunned from Hollywood.
Yeah.
Then he wins for The Whale. And I almost couldn't watch it without tearing up. Like, I've never, like, almost teared up during an Oscars episode. But I was like, man, you really did make a huge comeback that is almost unspoken of. We've never even seen anything like it before.
He made a multiverse joke when he first won the award. That was kind of cool.
He was like, man, this really is the multiverse or whatever he said. And so that was, man, that was awesome. That's thing number one. Thing number two is that cocaine bear running around behind Jimmy Kimmel. Because we got to bring that thing. I want to get that guy on Real Talk. Like,
I did like that. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Get him into your kid's birthday party. That was the cocaine bear minimum right there, Tommy.
I like that they're already making cocaine bear. Cocaine Bear was so popular of a new movie, it's already at the Oscars. So
yes, that's impressive. They're up to date.
I can't wait till Cocaine Bears win next year.
But they could get Cocaine Bear into the Oscars, but not Tom Sizemore.
Ooh.
Same thing, basically.
Yeah, and so am I doing my least favorite moment, too, right now?
Yeah, those are both good moments. Yeah, give us your least favorite, too.
My least favorite moment of the Oscars was probably, and is that Steven Spielberg didn't win for Best Director. I know that seems controversial, but I really, this movie was about his life. And Everything Everywhere All at Once won enough, in my opinion. Like, right. I think it was like, almost overkill. Like, every actor, every actress won it. I thought Kate Blanchett should have won Best Actress. I love that she won the Everywhere thing All at Once actress won. But and I don't know her name, and I'm really sorry about that. But I thought Kate Blanchett easily won. So I was confused there. But the director, Best Director, I just didn't think it had to go to them. I think they could have given it to Steven. He's made so many good movies so many years in a row, and that was kind of, I was kind of sad about that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gabe. That was a miss on the Oscars. I think I'll save my thoughts on that for my best and worst ones, but no, those were all really good, really good points. Nathan, what about you for your best and worst moments?
So best moment, kind of two-sided. I do think that Kihi Kwan's speech when he got up there, that was the best moment for me. I don't think you could beat that. And awesome. I love that he had almost that, like, Uncle Sam, we want you moment where he looks at the camera and points at it and talks about following your dreams.
Join the army.
I mean, he, like, even thanked his Goonies co-stars at some point. But the...
And he kept, like, looking to Harrison Ford, like, every time he'd be up there.
And that was the capping, the bookend moment at the very end when it won Best Picture. And he runs up on stage and just grabs Harrison Ford. And they have that embrace moment.
I love that.
And to speak to what you're saying about Spielberg, what I thought was really cool was that, yeah, he was up there and he was Best Director and was nominated for Best Picture, too. But when they panned the camera to Spielberg, and we were going to probably talk about how some camera panned and there were people not, you know, probably not masking the fact that they lost all that well.
Yeah.
Not their fault. But when it panned to Spielberg, he looked genuinely happy and pleased to see, you know, these people up there getting that award. Like, legitimate. Didn't look like he had a fake face on. I mean, at that point, he probably figured he wasn't going to get it. But I like that. There was a pride on his face that he was celebrating with him in that moment. And that's one of the things that makes him great.
I don't think he wants it. I think I want it for him more than he wants it.
I know. I'm just saying it was nice to see him. He looked like he had as much emotion on his face watching, you know, Kihi Kwan up there, you know, hugging Ford and all these guys there as if he had won himself. And now I will say this. At the end of the day, I was the one who said, too, that Kate Blanchett, I think, should win for Tar. It was probably a overall, like, you know, I initially said, yeah, it's the better performance, but there's different styles to what they're doing. And I think, you know, Michelle Yeoh is and has been for a very long time. She's an action star and she gives a phenomenal action star performance. It is hard to hold those two things up to each other, but the Oscars very rarely gives those sorts of performances the same standard. I mean, and Michelle Yeoh has been in this business for a long time. It's, you know, you go back in 80s martial arts movies with Jackie Chan that I remember seeing, you know, she's there doing stunts where her body is smacked against the side of a highway sign, you know, for real. So it's hard to, you know, I think that she did give an amazing performance. And I comparing both of them together, I think one is more Oscar-y better, but I don't know now that I think about it that Michelle Yeoh's performance is any less stellar than Blanchett's. And I think that goes to the movie. I do think that Daniels ultimately directed a better movie. You know, when you look at the best movies of the year, I thought Everything Everywhere was a better movie than The Fablemans. But The Fablemans, it's the emotionals. I know what you mean.
This is my thing with the
Fablemans. Make another great movie like he did last year.
Hear me out, Nathan. We got Munich. You've got War Horse. We've got Lincoln. We've got Bridge of Spies. We've got The Post. We got West Side Story last year, and this year we get The Fableman. So, and that's just like the last, I don't know, 10 years of Steven Spielberg or whatever you want to say. And it's like, if all these other people are expected to get these Lifetime Achievement Awards, when is he supposed to get his? Because he's been like, he's like the Buffalo Bills of Best Director. He's like,
I think they're afraid they're going to miss out on a big movie. Like, they're giving him the Lifetime Achievement Award, and he's going to make some film that's going to cure, like, you know, war or something. I don't know.
Well, the good thing is, I still think he's got a good number of
movies. I think that's hopefully.
Yeah. And he's got two, so he's already up there in the top level of, you know, he does deserve another one. But you could also argue, you know, Martin Scorsese deserves more than one. And right. Hitchcock deserves more than zero. So
can we retroactively give, you know, Oscars, some away?
Right, the Oscars have never been fair, I guess you could say.
No.
I do hope that he gets another one for sure before it's over. And I will predict that he will.
I think if you ask me, I think last year he was more robbed than this year. I know you really like Coda, Gabe, and it was a good movie, but I think West Side Story should have won last year.
That direction was phenomenal last year. And yeah, I agree. But those are all really good points. And Nathan, have you told us your least favorite?
Nathan, I already know what you're going to say. When My Year of Dicks got snubbed.
Well, actually, that's a good point, because what I thought didn't work was particularly that bit where Jimmy Kimmel's the part where the cocaine bear is behind him was good, but the stuff he was saying to the people he's walked around, and he comes up to, here's my least favorite moment. When also good because of the shade that Colin Farrell throws. When he makes that joke about not being able to understand Irish people or whatever, and they had just done a big joke about Irish stereotypes on SNL just the night before, and made jokes about them all getting drunk. And, you know, Farrell has spoken out a lot recently about, you know, his sobriety. So it's kind of weird. You're treating all these guys like they're all the same Irish guy. And so Colin Farrell says, oh, if you want to know more about this, watch last night's SNL.
He did say that.
And he said it in a totally deadpan manner, and he kind of let it go. I thought that was a classy way for him to handle it. But that comedy fell flat. The funniest joke of the night was actually on my chat feed that between all of us, when I missed because I had to walk out of the room. I missed the animated shorts winner, and I saw something like, My Year of Dicks got the shaft. One of you said that, and then someone else says, yeah, this really blows. And then someone says, and I think Gabe says, you know, it's just really hard to win. This is hard to take. So those were the funniest jokes of the Oscars. Except I did think when Jimmy Kimmel said, you know, hopefully this year this category will go off without a hitch and without Hitch himself, that was kind of funny.
That was pretty good. I like that one.
Jimmy did have some good jokes. I thought he was a solid host. I think the Oscars are always at its best when you've got like a song and comedy guy, but those are so rare that.
Yeah, we're not in the golden ages of when you had like Billy Crystal and Goldberg and Robin Williams all up there at the same time, and they're trying to keep Robin Williams eating the podium.
Like, it's kind of like the show itself. I consider him kind of like the bare minimum of what they should have. If he's kind of their every other year guy where they know they can pull out Jimmy Kimmel, then I'm good. You know, he can be their guy. He can be like their guy when they need somebody to have just a solid show. I think he can deliver that. And as far as my kind of best and worst moments, of course, I only watched about half the show. But I'll say the best moments, it's not really a one just single moment, but I'll just say the collective, professionalism of the show, I appreciated, especially after the last 2 years. I thought there was just a competency that they brought back to the show, even though it still went long. I thought it moved along well, and there was no, like, dead spots. There were, you know, some funny skits. The emphasis on making the movies and honoring the movies I thought was really well done. So I appreciated that. And as far as least favorite moment, this is not really a moment, but I will say that it kind of goes to your point, Gabe. I didn't like how Everything Everywhere at Once won so many awards. Even though I really enjoyed the movie. I think it was my number 4 for the year it ended up being. I really like it a lot. It is very entertaining. I've only seen it once, so I don't know how it holds up on second viewing. So I'd be interested in watching it again. But I just didn't think it deserved it. It shouldn't have won 7. Like, I thought they needed to spread it around a little bit. Like, did the Daniels really need to win Best Picture, Screenwriting, and Directing? Like, it wasn't that good, in my opinion, for them to win all that. Like, that's historic.
I don't know, man. I feel like it's one of the best movies I've seen in the last, like, 10 years.
It is a really so I try not to say when T-Man goes on these tangents, because I loved it quite a bit, but it was a meme movie.
That is, like, as good as the Oscars have ever done. I'm talking, like, as good as anybody has ever done in the Oscars. Everything Everyone Wants is not that good. And I'll argue on that one. Like,
I will, too.
All-time Oscar winner. So that's the point I'm trying to make, is that they didn't need to win all of that. That's the only point I'm trying to make with that. It's a really good movie, I agree. It's not historically great, though.
I didn't let T-Man talk, but I mean, the gist is, like, I feel the same way you about it you do, Nathan. I think it's pure genius. Like, the more I think about that movie, the more I love it. But it's more our type of thing than it is Tommy's. Like, he probably felt like Lord of the Rings should win, like, 13 categories or something. But, you know, at the same token, you know, to each their own.
Yeah. No, what I
don't
what
think
I will
it's
say...
everything, though. I agree with you. Like, it got a little ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll say this. You guys may think it's a historically great movie, but I don't. I mean, I don't think it deserves to be up there with, like, the all-time great Oscar winners. And that's the only point I'm making.
Like on Golden Pond and American Beauty.
They're all-time great movies. Now, you could argue, right, you could argue that the Oscars have always messed up on how they give winners, and that's true. So, you know, they're just doing it again. In other words, they just messed up by giving Michelle Yeoh the Best Actress over Kate Blanchett, which I think is going to age really badly. I think Kate Blanchett's performance, and I understand what you were saying, Nathan, but I have to disagree when it comes to those performances. I think Kate Blanchett's performance is one of the best of probably the past 10 years. That's going to age badly, I think. I mean, people are going to look back and
it
say...
It would age badly, and I keep in mind that Tar was my number two movie of the year.
But more people aren't going to watch Tar.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to remember Tar.
It's not going to age badly. And but people that have watched Tar and watched...
Because what's going to happen is next year, Kate Blanchett is going to blow someone out of the water with another...
Tar is going to go down as one of those movies, kind of like There Will Be Blood. Now, it will have a niche. It will be kind of the critic's favorite. But it will be remembered. Tar is, if there's any movie that's remembered this year, from everything I'm hearing from critics and reading online, Tar is probably the one movie that will be remembered from this year.
With a certain audience. Right. So my comment on this, and I'm just kind of throwing back and forth because it's fun and makes more interesting podcasts, or it'll sound like a jumble, who knows. But is that... you know, my feeling is, honestly, I loved most of these movies. I think that's what was good. To be perfectly honest, just about anything on here could have won, and I'd have been happy because they were mostly all good movies. You know, in my opinion, a lot of the ones that were up for the big nominations. But I will say it's tricky because I do think Everything Everywhere deserved almost all those awards it got. I do think at the end of the day, the performance that Blanchett gives in Tar is almost like otherworldly, you know, in terms of how all the craft that goes into it. So, but this is where it's like on paper, I think that Everything Everywhere deserved all those awards. Kate Blanchett deserved that award. In some ways, and that's the tricky thing with the Oscar cast, it's not as much fun to watch everybody just barnstorm, you know, just to clear out the whole category. Even when you're rooting for that movie, after a while, it's sort of like, you know, I remember all those people looking horrified when all those people from New Zealand were getting up on stage back in 2003. Like they emptied the whole country out on top of there, and, you know, Peter Jackson is like crawling over, you know, like Morgan Freeman to get to the stage. It was like, you know, it's a little bit much. But
what's unusual this year, kind of going back to what we're talking about, is this movie won so many of the, it's not that unusual that a movie can win seven. It's the awards it won. So it won it won every major award except for Best Actor, which it wasn't up for. So that's where it's just so unusual. And
it still blows my mind. It was even like, you know, we were saying it's a me movie, you know, or Gabe and I, hey, it's a movie for us. But clearly it was for a lot of other people because it had legs. And that's what I'm happy about is I'm thinking that this has shown the mainstream that you can let your freak flag fly and you can achieve it. That to me, hopefully will open up the door to getting some original movies.
Yeah. It also shows that the Academy Awards have changed. You know, they're no longer the old person awards where, like, old stodgy film wins.
Yeah.
You know,
the English Patient, that's in the past.
Yeah.
That dude is in jail.
Now you've got, like, the fish sex movie winning. You've got Parasite.
Yeah, I love that fish sex.
Everything.
I did, too. I love me some fish.
I feel like the Academy Awards are the Nathan and Gabe Awards now. So it's very interesting to see kind of where, and of course, I think this has a lot to do with them opening the body up to so many new members over the past few years. It's much more international now. It's a lot younger. I think Everything Everywhere once skewed very young, like all the young people really voted for. And as we talked about, it really just takes a film that people are the most passionate about And that's the one that can win.
But I see this movie, I think in 10 years, I don't think people are going to look back. And I think this movie does have some legs. I think it will be seen as a very original movie.
I do think it will, especially with its fan base. It has a very strong fan base. And I do think that, I don't think this is a movie, like, I like this movie a lot more than some of the other recent best. Like, Coda? No, get out of here. No Man's Land? A disaster.
You never saw Coda.
Just let him go. We've corrected him the last three times. Just let him go this time.
He's just going on a tirade.
Crash, disaster. So at least Everything Everywhere at Once is a really good movie.
I agree. I could, like, honestly, Shape of Water, I was happy when that one won. But, I mean, here we even talk about even...
That's another one I don't think should have won.
My daughter just finished reading The Invention of Hugo Cabret, so we're getting ready to watch the movie Hugo. And I'm like, wait, this was a pretty darn good movie. How did it go to The Artist?
Yes. That's a much better movie than The Artist. And as far as Coda, I will guarantee you guys one thing. Not a single person on earth has watched, talked about, or heard about Coda since it won Best Picture. Not a single person on earth.
I've watched it again since it won Best Picture.
Well, and a new person gave it already seen.
But what I'm going to say
was a disaster for a Best
Picture. I think the only award that and I'm going to go ahead and apologize to fans out there that Everything Everywhere All at Once shouldn't have won is I don't think Jamie Lee Curtis should have won for Best Supporting.
Right, no, she should
I thought
not.
That was way off base. If you're going to give Lifetime Achievement Awards, give them to Steven Spielberg, but they're not doing that. And Hong Chow and the Whale was way, Angela Bassett was better. You know, I even think Stephanie Hsu in Everywhere All at Once is better.
To me, was the best the best supporting actress winner there, in my opinion, because she was the heart of the film, and I do think she was better than
Carrie
the others.
Well, Carrie Condon should have won. Actually, guys, this is a good point. Let's go ahead and jump into the categories.
Okay.
We didn't want to talk about the sixth major
category. Yeah, let's just go in.
So let's talk about, okay, and let's just go right into what you were talking about, Gabe. Best supporting actress. So Jamie Lee Curtis won for Everything Everywhere at Once, and I'm with you, Gabe. I don't think she should have won. I love Jamie Lee Curtis. That is not an Academy Award-winning performance. And honestly, Carrie Condon should have won for Banshees of Inisherin. That's who I think should have won looking back on it. What do you guys think?
I thought she was fine. The problem with that is she's good supporting work in Banshees of Inisherin, Carrie Condon. And she's very good. But she's definitely, you know, she outshined by the two leads and then also by all the supporting work that goes in there. And particularly with, his name is escaping me, who I was kind of rooting for supporting actor if it wasn't going to be Kihi Kwan. But
Brendan Gleeson, but the other guy.
Yes.
Barry Keegan.
Thank you, Barry Keegan. Like, he was phenomenal, and everybody was phenomenal. Carrie had a different kind of role there. She's got to be kind of the no-nonsense glue. She doesn't get to be the eccentric, crazy Irish, you know, flavor of the film. But, you know, I do think that Jamie Lee Curtis gave a very good and very interesting performance, and it did, you know, build what was happening in that film, and it did contribute to the success of that film. And she did develop a character with a lot of facets that should have been just a surface level kind of joke. And that's not easy to do. And it's not easy to do the kind of comedy she was doing. And I think that was more than a makeup job and just, you know, being humble and letting herself look a little disheveled. I think that was a really interesting, fun, quirky character. I enjoyed spending time with that character. Again, I think it's kind of teaching the Academy that you can nominate these sorts of people too. I just think that Stephanie was in so much, what she had to do emotionally and everything in that film, the movie was even more on her shoulders than it was on Jamie Lee Curtis's. But what I want to talk about for just a second is, what do you think about this? And Angela Bassett, she's a great actress. I am not the biggest fan of this second Black Panther movie, honestly. I didn't think it was bad.
It is not good.
It's non-memorable. I watched the whole thing and I couldn't tell you.
Me too.
I would actually outright say it's bad.
Right, and I think that she was fine in it, but those forceful sort of speeches she was giving, she's played this character twice now, those forceful speeches and this kind of Greek, Angela Bassett has given this very exact same performance in a similar vein before, you know, in other films. This is sort of what you get from her. I'm not saying it was bad, but there was nothing about that performance that I would have honestly even nominated. And so,
well, I've heard from some people that I listen to, like different movie podcasts, and I thought it was a good point, was that it was like Jamie Lee Curtis had a lesser role in a much more beloved movie, and Angela Bassett had a better performance in a movie that was not liked.
But I liked the and my bigger issue is not whether whose performance was better, but the people throwing shade at Jamie Lee Curtis in favor of Angela Bassett because she looked like she was upset. It's like, okay, yeah. I get that. That's just petty. That's petty.
Which I love. I love when winner or when people that lose actually are upset, because that shows they're still.
Angela Bassett wasn't being petty. I'm talking about the people online who, as far as I know, Angela Bassett didn't do any, didn't say or do anything that was like
untoward. She was probably just a little bummed out, but what?
She didn't even look mad. She just looked. She had the look of, it's the same look Bill Murray had on his face when he didn't win for Lost in Translation. But
yeah,
the thing is,
that's okay. Yeah.
And I thought it was nice that, that her peers and her co-stars from the other movies were like, hey, we see you, recognize her. They did. I remember Billy Crystal did the same thing. We love you, Bill, that kind of thing. That stuff's fine. It's just that pettiness of the people observing. And I've seen a lot of articles throwing shade at Jamie Lee Curtis. And first off, Jamie Lee Curtis sort of being forward and saying, hey, I've been in this a while and I really wanted this. And hey, I think I brought something to this. Male actors can get up and say that all the time, but I've seen all these articles saying she compared herself to Tom Cruise. It's like, well,
yeah, I saw that.
Come on, the state of film journalism sucks right now.
And
Twitter is not film journalism. Let me please clarify that.
Film Twitter is awful.
But I actually think that I liked, if you want to ask me honestly, as a film critic, I think Jamie Lee Curtis's performance was better than Angela Bassett's. She had more to do. She was structurally in the film, if what she did wasn't working, where her arc goes, it would have harmed more of the movie. Angela Bassett brought all of her acting intensity, but that character wasn't written well enough for her to, or it wasn't given enough room for her to really embody it and do much with it. So yeah, there was intensity, but I don't think that the performance was as good, because my personal opinion is a performance needs the writing and needs the character sculpting to go with it.
I'll echo what you're saying a little further, Nathan. Of the five, Jamie Lee Curtis and Angela Bassett were, the in my opinion, the worst two performances of the five. So it's like the bottom two were the two that we're hearing all about. But I don't have a problem with Jamie Lee winning, and I wouldn't have had a problem with Angela Bassett.
And none of them were bad.
They're kind of like lifetime achievement awards for either one, I guess you could argue. Yeah. But I think Hong Chau, Stephanie Hsu, and Carrie Condon outperformed all of them. So, it didn't affect me.
I think their work was more naturalistic, which is what.
I want to add one thing to this conversation. I just want to get your guys' opinion on this. So I think everything that I've heard about this nominee, what screwed it all up, is that they nominated Michelle Williams in lead actress. And that was her choice. She wanted to be categorized as lead actress when in really that performance was a supporting actress in Fablemans. It should have been supporting, and it probably would have won supporting actress.
Yeah.
Instead, it was nominated for best actress, but didn't stand a chance. So I think that by them doing that, it screwed up this nomination, and it was probably her. She would have easily won that, honestly.
Yes.
Yeah, and I would have said that she should have won that. She was Michelle Williams, and again Stephanie Hsu. Those were the two that would have been the two of the heads of it. Yeah,
right. She literally just—it was her choice to run for best actress. People can say which one you want to be up for, and it's like she just gave up a Academy Award anyway. Interesting.
That was kind of the weird thing with Brendan Gleeson too. That Gleeson ended up being in the best supporting actor, and it's like, I don't know if that's exactly fair.
Made the right choice. He went for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. There's always, every year, especially with movies with multiple potential nominees, there's always some funny business going on in how they categorize these performances.
But I thought Jamie Lee Curtis gave a great speech, and I love that she even thanked the fans of like the genre films that she's been in. She's, and again, she's, I was every right to be proud of that work, and I love that she put that Oscar next to her butt plug statue. So, that's cool.
She's an icon. Everybody loves her.
Love Jamie Lee Curtis.
I'm not remotely disappointed that she won.
No. As a lifetime achievement, like, she's the best out of all of them. But, like, I don't know. I just thought the other three were better, but I'm happy she won. And I would have been happy if Angela Bassett won. It didn't matter.
It's just the behavior of people, I guess.
It's the behavior after. Yeah. Yes.
So no. All good points there. And so this one, I think this category, I think, will be a little less divisive. This is Best Supporting Actor. And of course, as we already talked about, Kaye Khan, I cannot say his name. I've messed it up every time I've said it, I think. He won. And honestly, he should have won, in my opinion. I think everybody was ecstatic that he won. Such a good comeback story. Such a good performance. I think he, you know, delivers one of the best performances in the movie and an amazing speech, as you guys have already talked about. So I was really happy he won. Who does not want to see, you know, I can't wait to see him do more things. So what are your all's thoughts on his win?
One of the best moments of the Oscars. Glad it happened. I don't have anything to say.
Yeah, I don't think there is much to say on that one. So, yeah, we're all glad, very glad he won. And you know what?
A year ago, I wouldn't have imagined it could have happened, not because of the level of his performance, just didn't think that was going to be something the Oscars would have allowed.
Who would have thought it would happen? You know what they need to do now is hopefully this new Indiana Jones movie is popular, and then just give him a Disney Plus series where he's like short round as an adult.
That would be fantastic.
And that's what they should do. I mean,
T-Man, are you writing movies for Hollywood? I hope you're listening, Hollywood. This is
it could be like the way Young Indiana Jones, remember that show back in the
90s? Yeah, I just came up with that. So I'm hoping Hollywood gives me a role.
That's genius. Hey, they brought back Willow, so I think you're safe.
Well, you're safe.
And canceled it already. So
my daughter was mad about that. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't see it. But
she went mad at you.
Yeah, she's not going to be happy with me laughing about it. All right, so let's move on to Best Actress. I feel like we've already gotten into this. Well, I'm excited to get into it a little bit more. All right, so I didn't even watch half of the show, but I'm fired up. Best Actress, Michelle Yeoh won for Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. I think my opinion is she's really good in that role, and I really like her as an actress, and she's like the heart and soul of the movie. But just like I said earlier, I don't think she should have won. Cate Blanchett's performance was one for the ages. I think that is one that's people are going to look back on and be like, oh man, how did Cate Blanchett not win that? Instead, she won impersonating Katharine Hepburn for another movie. So what are your all's thoughts? I think you all have already gotten into a little bit. I know, Nathan, you talked about it. Is there anything else you all want to talk about with that award?
I think I said a little about it, just the last thing I'll say. I think what's going to happen is the reason that this may not be remembered in terms of, oh, how was she robbed for tar, is Cate Blanchett is such a great actress. I think she's going to do something next year, the year after, that's going to be as phenomenal and is going to win. I mean, Anthony Hopkins and people like that have done that sort of thing where they come out and they're nominated a lot. They do something. It's like, okay, this was clearly best. I can't believe they didn't win. They go on to do something else that just sort of, again, blows it out of the water. But happy that
she's kind of in the
mirror. Like, my new theory, guys. Sometimes I don't get to watch all the movies. Nathan watches all the movies. I'm starting to wonder if the Academy watches all the movies, because I don't think that they do.
They do not.
Because if you did watch Tar and you watched Michelle Yeoh and Everything Everywhere All at Once, I agree with you. Everything Everywhere All at Once should have won a lot of the awards, Nathan. It's one of my favorite movies in a long time. I told you right after I saw it, I said, T-Man, this is the best movie I've seen in years. However, if you watch both of those movies, and I agree with you 100%, Nathan, it will not be remembered because nobody's going to watch Tar. Nobody's going to watch Tar because the first 30 minutes of it are atrocious. I almost didn't get through it.
I think what nobody's going to watch is that damn Coda.
No, let me finish what I'm saying, though. But Cate Blanchett's performance, the best description I heard of it was T-Man, and he said it was volcanic. It's the best. It's the best actress role. It's the best actress actress thing I've ever seen in the past 10 years. Well, so the Academy didn't watch it if they didn't vote Cate Blanchett. If you voted purely on performance, everybody would have voted for Cate Blanchett. But that didn't happen. They voted for the movie that they liked and that they saw, and Michelle Yeoh won because of that. And I'm happy for that. but she did not outperform Kate Blanchett in Tar. But she was the second best one, and she was really good, and I loved her speech. But yeah. She didn't win.
Yeah,
but she did.
But she did. Volcanic is good, but the other aspect of it is Volcanic and measured, considered. Like, you know, we've seen lots of Volcanic performers and a lot of male actors that would have done that and would have just had the Volcanic. But the measured and the precision of an erratic, being that precise with an erratic character is fascinating that she could do that. And yeah. I don't think that Michelle Yeoh in the same film could deliver that same performance. But, you know, devil's advocate here, I'm going to throw out, given the physicality and everything that Michelle Yeoh does in Everything Everywhere, which is a part of her performance, could Kate Blanchett have done that role equally as well as Michelle Yeoh did in Everything Everywhere? Just going to leave it at that.
I like that Nathan's an advocate for what he likes. I like it, but I don't even agree with me.
I do think that at the end of the day, I just said, yeah, I think Kate Blanchett did give the performance that is the best, but it's because it's so, it's stratospheric. It's sort of like, you're right.
Yeah, when she wins her, chance. When Michelle Yeoh didn't have the chance to yeah, do yeah. that.
But I Michelle Yeoh may not have this opportunity again to be up there for best actress. So yeah, in a way, Michelle Yeoh's is really the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Sure. And I agree with you, Nate. Kate Blanchett is gonna be every movie she yeah. makes, she's basically nominated. Like,
but when her Lifetime Achievement Award comes, the movie that's gonna sit at the top of the reel will be Tar.
Exactly. It will. I'm telling you, Tar is gonna survive. You know a movie that's not gonna
Tar
survive?
Tar is not gonna survive.
Coda's not.
And again, for everyone listening, I've seen Tar three times and I love it. So I'm not, I own it. I think it's a masterpiece. So.
I want anybody out there that's listening to tell us, have you talked about Coda with anybody ever?
Why? That's last year.
My mom's dead. Anybody ever? Deaf community, Tommy. Of course I've talked about Coda. Like, that is actually practical. Yeah. A snooty musical-like group. No, I haven't talked about Tar with anybody. In fact, I've recommended not to watch Tar to people.
Tar,
except
I'm talking about Tar with everybody I see. People are like, oh, that sounds interesting. Okay.
No, they're not. They would much rather watch Coda. Coda's much more of an everyday man's movie.
No, Coda's done, guys. Coda's done. All right, let's move on.
Head is swimming. I feel like it's just we're going in circles.
I don't know how we got on this Coda thing, but it's pretty funny. So next we've got Best Actor. Oh, here's another one of my pet peeves. So we've got Brendan Fraser winning for the Whale, which is a total, like, just sympathy vote, honestly. The Academy Awards does this all the time. They find a narrative they like, and they find a person they like, and instead of, like, actually voting for, like, their performance or the movie or something, they're really voting on, like, the narrative. And
I've never wanted to just not listen to whatever you're saying more than what you're talking right now.
James is going to just leave, I feel like, tonight. He's done with it. Brendan Fraser had, they loved his narrative. They loved all the speeches he were giving. He was crying every speech, which I love Brendan Fraser too. The Mummy, love it. So I don't, it's not like I dislike Brendan Fraser, but I do feel like they were voting for him versus the movie and the performance. In my opinion.
Voting for him and not the movie. It's
well,
the best
you
actor.
All know what I'm saying. They're voting for him as a narrative. And this does all
this
the time.
This is the man that by never the saw narrative. The movie.
Right.
Just like, yeah, this is what I will say, Tommy. Just like Kate Blanchett's performance in Tar is in a movie that I don't love, but Kate Blanchett clearly won that. When I finished watching The Whale, I was like, Brendan Fraser just won Best Actor. It's not, The Whale isn't a movie I loved. I had a moderately good time at the theater watching it. But I watched his performance and I was like, he nobody else deserves it. So you watch it and come back to me and tell me that it's not the best performance of the year. And then I'll say, okay.
The Academy Awards finds these narratives, and this was just their kind of poster boy for this year. And also, are we really just keep not, like, giving these awards for people in these subpar movies? Like, The Whale wasn't liked, really. Like, nobody liked it. Like, I'm just kind of flabbergasted it won. But I am happy for Brendan Fraser because I do like him.
And this is really, let's face it, they're really giving it, this to him for Dudley Do-Right, which they snubbed years ago.
Yes,
not I because it's Dudley, Dudley Do-Right. I actually like Dudley Do-Right, but that's a different story. Blast from the Past is good.
This
too.
Was he really got snubbed and bedazzled, and they are trying to make up for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Bedazzled, man. I haven't thought about that movie.
I like that. I just like Brendan Fraser, but the and it was wonderful to see him win. And honestly, the thing that made me irritated and actively like kind of frustrated while watching The Whale was the fact, and I like Darren Aronofsky usually, but I thought that The Whale let down a lot of people putting in wonderful work in it. And I just didn't think, I thought the movie let down Brendan Fraser and it let down Hong Chau and it let down the actress, the Stranger Things actress, even she was good. Who
I agree with
daughter.
You. I thought the exact same thing. The
they
whole time
were
I was
so
watching.
Good. And Brendan Fraser is so, and he is, he knows that this is his opportunity, his chance. And even through all that prosthetics and everything, it's a very good performance in a movie that kind of pisses me off.
Yeah, because he's better than the dialogue that was written for him in the movie.
Yeah. I don't like what that movie's trying to say or what it's doing at all, but he poured his soul into it, and that's the only reason that you need to watch that movie.
There was parts where I didn't even care what the movie was about
right.
And I was watching Brendan Fraser. I was just like, I don't really care because this is awesome.
Yeah, he deserved it. The performance I think I liked the best, and maybe because it was buoyed by a movie I liked more. I really loved Colin Farrell in Brandsies of Innisfarin, but Colin Farrell, in my opinion, was even better in After Yang, and nobody saw that movie.
Cheering for Austin Butler too. I don't hear me wrong.
Yeah,
he was far.
Come on, Austin Butler fans, where are you at?
Everything was working together for him in that film.
Once he started doing his Oscar, his Elvis voice after the movie, and kept it going, I was sold. I was like, we got to get this guy an award. He's still in the role a year later.
Just hope Brendan Fraser does roll this into a second wind. Second.
I do too. Come on. We need a Mummy Legacy sequel. Come on. It's got to happen, Brandon.
I'm not even I actually think that I would be okay with that. I'm sitting there thinking,
that's what I'm saying.
No, that sounds solid to me, Tommy. That's airtight.
I feel like that's a solid choice right there. The Mummy is very popular now. People our age love The Mummy. I think it would be a big hit. So, all right. So now we're down to the last two that we're going to talk about tonight. We've got Best Director and the Daniels one for Everything Everywhere All at Once. So what are your all's thoughts on that win? Gabe, I think you've already talked a lot about it.
He thanked teachers, man. He thanked his teachers.
Yeah, I didn't love their speeches, but yeah, you already know my opinion on it. I think that Spielberg should have won. But the Daniels, I was happy that they won too. I mean, they were the second. It was between those two, in my opinion. So.
I mean, wasn't the last movie they did before this Swiss Army Man?
That's their first movie.
Paul Dano, who's in the Fablemans, before this was riding Daniel Radcliffe's dead, bloated body across the water powered by farts. And now they're here winning the best Oscar. And I love that that's the case. While Spielberg looks on.
I agree with you, Gabe. I think I was rooting for Steven Spielberg because not only it's a really well-directed movie, but, this may be one of his last shots, but I think he'll still have others. I would love to see him get another one. And I didn't dislike the award. I mean, I think the Daniels movie directed a really original movie. They have a lot of talent. I'm excited to see what they do next. I do think they're going to be they signed with Universal. So this is interesting. They've been an indie.
Please let them not make a comic book movie and part of some franchise.
Now, they said that. So they've signed with Universal, and Universal right now has kind of become like the director studio. That's where
they're doing Fast and the Furious 12.
Well, after that one, hopefully no more. Christopher Nolan signed with them after Warner Brothers. They've got M. Night was there for a little while. They've got Jordan Peele. Now they've got the Daniels. And so I think they give these directors, their kind of top-level directors, some freedom. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do with a studio-level budget.
If I was picking a director to win other than those two, though, I would have gone Edward Berger, man. All Quiet on the Western Front. It already won four awards, so
Yeah, like, that's a movie we haven't talked about a whole lot. I think we mentioned earlier. Yeah, that it really swept the Techno Awards. A lot of people thought Top Gun would win those, but All Quiet on the Western Front really swept those. And honestly, there were a few moments in the show where I was thinking, wow, it could actually win Best Picture.
Best Picture. I was starting to think that. And honestly,
yeah, there was a trend there about halfway through. Yeah.
And my prediction episode, I picked it winning all the. That's the only thing I got right, because I did the worst on my Oscar ballot I've ever done. But I did vote it for a bunch of the technical awards because I just watched it and I was like, I feel pretty intelligent about that. So
nice. Yeah, that was interesting. So it'd be always fun. Of course, the Oscars would never do this, but it would be really fun if they just showed us like who came in second or third or fourth.
Yes, I thought of that the other day. Why is there a list where we can find that out?
They keep it really close to the vest. You know what would be the most fun, I think? And I'm not the one that came up with this idea, but it would be really cool, I think. I think I said this last year, is if during the show they would count down and so knock out the Best Picture winner. So, like, you know, you've got 10, and like 30 minutes in, they say, all right, number 10 is out. Then 9, 8, 7, 6, and they can honor that movie at that point.
Oh, I like that. Like,
at the very end,
then you know you can go to bed if your movie's already lost.
They would just leave, right? The ceremony. And I don't think they would do that because the Oscars, even though it is a competition, they still kind of consider it like.
Yeah.
Or like, the award. It's still for the arts, you know? It's not like a full-blown sports competition. So they don't want
to
hurt it.
I'm trying to say there's still some sort of mystique and prestige that needs to be honored. Like, you just can't get up there and start hitting people or something.
You just can't go and smack somebody's face.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
It's prestigious.
Their crisis team will prevent that. So I think that would be a lot of fun. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But I don't know. What do you all think? Do you have any predictions on what was the number two? Do you think it was All Quiet on the Western Front?
I think it was. I think that was the clear number two.
I think probably because I think we have in most of these cases, what was happening is you did have a very clear, I think what the fact that Everything Everywhere had the momentum, the people saw it and actually watched it. The fact that it's distinctive is when you sit there and you look at those options, I think everyone kind of votes for it. And then everything else sort of did cancel itself out because here's this very distinctive movie. So it gathers all the people that are going to vote for it. And then it's got that base, right?
Right.
Gabe, that they're going to be like, we are 100%. We're going to make this thing win.
You guys are in the base.
Correct.
I don't think that the other films had that base that existed beyond the Academy. You know, that sense of like, what's truly the best picture.
Right.
I think this movie had a base of people that were going to be like, we're all for it. The other one that probably had that, but maybe not enough, might have been like Top Gun, honestly. Like,
I think Top Gun could have been Top Gun or Elvis. Like, I think that those could be the only other, maybe Banshees.
But
well, I think what happened was, and you guys make a great point. I think that's exactly what happened. Everything Everywhere at Once had this like solid base that would not break for anything. Whereas like Top Gun and Elvis, what I've heard, and probably All Quiet on the Western Front, the older voting block loved those movies. And so it split the older voting block, which is still a big
and Western Front jumps out right at the end. Now Banshees did too, but Banshees again is kind of like, and no, and again that movie was in my top 10, but the Banshees is another film that's sort of like it's got Oscar written all over it, right?
Correct.
I don't want to say Oscar bait because that's not what it is.
It is. It's like 1917. But here's what happened. Yeah. I think, is that those other movies, Top Gun and Elvis, also had support from the same type of people.
Yeah.
And so it split those. Instead of, like, everybody solidifying, like, where Everything Everywhere at Once had this block that would not break. And so
I guarantee you, most of these people that were voting saw All Quiet on the Western Front either A, on Netflix right at the end of the year, or on those screeners that they send out, and had probably never even heard about it until that moment. And the movie just like punched them in the face, and it was like, oh. And I think that's the movie that put the wrench in the gears of everybody else.
I agree with you.
It's because
that's what I was getting ready. That goes to my theory that they don't watch all the movies. But enough people talked about All Quiet on the Western Front where people saw that movie. And if you saw, like, because I watched all the movies this time. And that one punched me in the face because that one I was like,
that's going to hold up. You talk about movies that are going to stand the test of time or whatever. I think that one's going to be another one that in 10 years, people will still remember that, even though it's the second time we've gotten this film or the third time that we've gotten this story. I think it is going to be one of those war films that isn't just forgotten about a few years down the road.
No, 2 days later, I wasn't sitting around thinking about Tar, or I wasn't sitting around thinking about Triangle of Sadness, but I was thinking about All Quiet on the Western Front.
And I think Tar, like Tommy said, Tar will stand the test of time in more of a Stanley Kubrick sort of way.
Yes. With a certain block of the film critical community, I think Tar is the one from this year. And so let's just talk about, and we're already kind of talking about it. I don't know if there's anything
picture.
I want to talk about. Is there anything else about the Best Picture winner, which is Everything Everywhere at Once, of course, as we talked about, that you all want to talk about? And we've talked about it quite a bit. There is a question that I have. So this is such a unique movie to win. Do you all think it portends anything for the future of the Academy Awards?
I hope so.
I think the days of the old Academy Awards, like I was saying, of like, you know, it always had this reputation of the older voting block would like nominate a movie that's like an epic 3-hour film.
Gandhi, the English patient.
Gandhi, you know. Out of Africa. You know, these type of movies that weren't necessarily beloved, but like were supposedly Oscar movies, and they would carry to win. I think those days are done. I think now you have a whole new Academy Awards. I think this shows that this is a new voting block. What do you all think?
I'd agree.
I think so.
I think that this movie made the artsy film like fun. And like, I think Wes talked about it in one of our episodes here recently, how like the artsy films aren't being successful, but this is kind of an A24 artsy film, but this one was a big hit.
It's not
the same because there's action, there's multiverse. Right. They made the artsy part, but they also made it fun and exciting. And I hope this is the future of Hollywood, because that's why I think this movie's so brilliant. And as much as I've talked bad about it, about some of the wins that it had, I do think it is by far the best film this year. And it deserves, you know, that with Top Gun.
Here's what's different about this movie versus a lot of the other weird esoteric things that we like. Brilliant films like Eternal Sunshine and stuff like that.
Spotless Mind and stuff like that.
Movies are amazing. But this movie, at the heart of it, like we're talking about the weird multiverse stuff and the battles with the butt plugs and hot dog fingers and the rocks. What this movie was about family members trying to find common ground with one another. And how do you live your life in a way that respects you and respects other people? Those are things you can actually relate to, and they're delivered in relatable ways amidst all of the madness. Like the conversation that they have out front in their car, like when she's talking to her daughter, that is so real, I think, for a lot of people, that's what pushes it over the top. I'm there.
One of the best emotional scenes in any movies. And at the same time, they have hot dog fingers. But I agree with you 100%.
Right. When she turns to her husband and is like, you know, now I'm going to fight the way you fight. You know, a different way to deal with people. Like, I walked out of that movie like happy about my life. Like, that to me, this is a masterpiece and a movie that I hope stands the test of time. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
We've got rocks talking to each other. It's got it all. Raccoons controlling people.
The raccoon
is amazing,
and that it was voiced, the fact that it was
awesome
voiced by Randy Newman, even better.
Even better.
I gotta go watch Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah, right, you guys want to. Excited. You guys are in the Everything Everywhere at Once base. I just realized this now.
I want this movie to win Best Picture next year.
Yes, me too.
Again, guys. All right, second, I have two questions. First, should they make an Everything Everywhere at Once sequel?
No.
Okay, one and done then. Okay, throw it out there. I wonder if they will. I have a feeling they will.
Did we talk about the Lady Gaga performance? Because I'm afraid we're almost done, and I think her performance was
pretty good. Yeah, Gabe, if there's anything else you want to talk about.
Not David Byrne.
I didn't particularly love Rihanna's Nest she sung out of, but that's all I'll say about that.
Cool.
But I think Lady Gaga's performance was probably the best performance I've seen in Oscars in probably 5 years.
Lady Gaga always brings it. She is awesome. Like
when she did the halftime show, that was the best halftime show I'd seen in 10 years at the Super Bowl. She brings it. And she brings something different. She brought no makeup and just sat there and sang. And it was spectacular.
She was great in House of Gucci. She's great in everything she really does. I'm a big Lady Gaga fan.
She really got snubbed in House of Gucci, too.
Yeah, and Star's Born. Though yeah. she did win for the best song, so that was good. What about, all right, let me ask you guys this. I'm throwing rapid questions to you now because we are wrapping up. What's the worst Best Picture winner of the last 10 years?
That's 10 years. When does that take us to? that's
I was getting ready to say, is that Crash that territory? Is Crash Bills in there?
No. I don't. What were they? I was thinking we should do a whole show where we just go through the Oscar winners and say which ones were garbage.
I can tell you the Best Picture winners in order for the last 10 years. I'm pulling it up right now. Yeah,
and I'll just tell you which ones are garbage. If we can go back to American Beauty, that might be. Or Crash is pretty bad.
Crash is awful. American Beauty has aged awfully.
I didn't like it when it came. Magnolia was the
movie. Yeah, you're ahead of it. I liked it when it came out, but I was young and stupid.
Parasite. Okay, so the last couple of years. So let's just read them. Everything Everywhere All at Once. Then Coda. I know you're not going to say anything. Then Nomadland.
Nomadland.
Parasite. Green Book. Shape of Water.
Green Book's pretty bad.
Here's the thing.
I like Green Book.
I really like Green Book, even though I know nobody else does, especially like
Birdman and then 12 Years a Slave.
My vote's Green Book.
My vote for the worst ones are Moonlight. I didn't love Moonlight. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, I didn't. Moonlight was,
I didn't like Birdman either. Didn't sit good with me. But I mean, maybe some other people.
I liked it, but I don't think it was Best Picture. Right.
And then my third worst one would be Nomadland, which I enjoyed that movie, but it's the third worst one on the list. Because I love I liked Everything All at Once. I like Coda, and I like Parasite, and I like Green Book, and I like Shape of Water. So I liked all those.
Gabe liked a lot of them. I will say the worst are, I think it's the last several. I think it's Coda and Nomadland.
But have you seen Coda?
Well, that's not neither here nor there.
You can't tell.
It's movies. They're made to be seen.
I'm just going to try to keep this habit of dissing movies I haven't seen. I think it's.
You seen Nomadland?
I have seen Nomadland, and that was boring as hell. That was awful. Yeah.
The Green Book to me is like that old people thing you were talking about. No, you guys like that's fine, but it just shouldn't have won Best Picture.
Green Book. I love Green Book. Those two guys cured racism. I mean,
really very deep and heartfelt, completely organic masterpiece. Thank you.
I also didn't love The Shape of Water's okay.
Pan's Labyrinth is a better film.
Pan's Labyrinth's better. Nightmare Alley is a masterpiece. I love that much more. So I think the Oscars have been very hit and miss these past 10 years. It's very Parasite, I think, is the one, and probably Everything Everywhere at Once that I'm the happiest about of that group.
Yeah, they do feel, and I think Parasite, movies like Parasite winning, they're breaking Parasite begets Everything Everywhere, opens the door for that, and so on, and so. Yes. And I think we're going to keep seeing it until Jackass will win an Oscar in like 3 years.
Jackass
12 or something,
And as far as Green Book, I know, I listen to a couple other movie podcasts, and when they talk about the Academy Awards, they're always dissing Green Book. And I just want to be like, hey, I like Green Book, but I know that.
But outside of those performances, what was good about that movie?
I just think it's a good story, and it was good performances. What was not to like?
No, I said outside of the performances.
Come on, Nathan. Everything doesn't have to be multiverses, you know? It's heartwarming. It's family. I loved it.
I just want to do a Siskel and Ebert style show with you guys where we just rant about things all the time.
I think that's what we're becoming.
I like it. I think more barbarism is what this show needs.
Me and T-Man yelled over each other for half of this episode.
I was thoroughly entertained.
Yeah, has brought something out in us, so we'll have to have you. Nathan, I love your idea about doing an Oscar-like show about, some of the worst, and I think we're going to do that. So,
or even just going through, here's what I think it should be, not the word, because I know it doesn't, you wouldn't know it from hearing me talk, but I really don't like to diss things all the time. I mean, that's why I even liked Halloween Ends or whatever, but, I don't want to get anyone started on that or have people, boycott your show.
Oh, no.
Open that fissure in time.
That could be another hour, I feel like.
But I think what would be interesting is actually look at it according to not just even what was nominated, but take a year and say, okay, this was the best picture, but what would we nominate? And then what would we say would win out of that? Because I think to me, the truth of it is this is one of the few years where that's not the case, in my personal opinion, again, which is the only one that I can really give. But I think most years the best picture is never even nominated, you know, particularly in some of these years. And because it's maybe a smaller movie or a film that doesn't that at the time it was released didn't have the momentum. I mean, there are movies now that people, you know, absolutely like sort of lift up and deify that weren't even on the radar the year that like Shakespeare in Love or something won. You know what I mean? So I think there are those movies.
I can't remember the last year. I was trying to think about this. I think you make a great point. I was trying to think of like, when was the last year that the number one, like my number one movie won Best Picture? And it's, I don't know when it was.
It was this year for me, but before that.
Return of the King. Yeah, for this year, Return of the King, maybe for me. So I think that's a great idea. I think
if anybody's 2 years in a row for Buddy, though. Everything Everywhere All at Once and Coda. Back-to-back years, my favorite movies won. And Parasite won a year before that. And that was my favorite.
Man, Gabe, you know what, Gabe? I think you got the pulse of the Academy.
Maybe that's
you're in that block because I
and I really kind of did like Nomadland. I talked about it a long time, but I mean,
you like it, you like those movies because I do think it's the same voting block that's propelling these winners.
There's like 90 buddies in the Academy, man. If we get more buddies, we're gonna more movies.
You got enough. You're winning every year.
Yeah, that's true. I'm really excited for the way the Academy's headed.
You guys are winning. You guys are dominating. So that's good for that bodes well. So I think we will do that for my next episode. So that's a great idea. Hopefully you can join us for that. And we'll do an Oscar like type show. So that sounds like a lot of fun. And until then, what else? Do you guys have anything else about the show that you want to talk about?
No, I think we nailed it.
Awesome. Well, no, I think we had a lot of fun. This was a great Oscar season. It lasted way too long. Why was the show in March? Nobody knows. It should be like in January. Like, what are they doing? It's no March. Place. Like, it is literally spring into the next year, and they're still talking about the last year's movies.
I was trying to watch March Madness and the Oscars simultaneously. What is
what's happening, right?
What is happening? So hopefully they'll correct that next year. But, you know, this was a lot of fun. I'm glad we could do it. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us. Anything else you want to say, plug, talk about why Coda is not good, please tell us.
Go see Coda, guys. Great movie. And it was nice. It was nice to see him, who won the best actor last year, him up there this year. It was nice to see everybody back giving out their awards, you know, except for Will Smith, of course. Who gave out? I missed that. Who did give out the best actor award?
Two women,
or not two women, but how are they handle it? Who is it? The best, the winner, best actor usually gives out which award? How does that work? I can't remember what the deal is, but usually
I was long gone by that point. I was out.
Yeah, but usually they come out and give it right, like.
But nobody, but Will did not come out.
No, right. So.
Was it Halle Berry? Didn't Halle Berry do one of them?
The person Halle that gave Berry it out was Halle Berry and somebody else, but.
That was the best actor,
Gotcha. Okay.
But he's saying they usually give out in a different award.
I think. I'm not.
Well, and they did something different this year where they like had the two people come out and then they would split out. They would do two back-to-back awards, which was an interesting choice, which I kind of liked. It was interesting.
Yeah, thought that was fine. And I was wondering about Morgan Freeman's, like, black glove. Like, his hand is apparently...
I don't know what was going on there.
Well, I read that, I guess, when the accident happened some years back now, that he's had issues with that hand ever since. And and you don't see Morgan Freeman, at least on screen, as much anymore, you know, in films and stuff.
Sure.
And but I did see a trailer for a film, and I noted, and maybe it was just my mind because of what I had seen, I noted that in every scene he only had his one hand up on the table. And so just one, you know, not trying to.
Are you saying like, is it like the Dumbledore thing where his hand starts getting like, you know, in Harry Potter, where
I don't think he destroyed a Horcrux, and that's why it's like that. But I do think he has like some nerve damage or something in there. I believe I was reading, and he keeps that glove on. So but I don't think it's anything that he hasn't necessarily been struggling with a while. But you know, like say, I realize myself seeing some of these people at the Oscars, like in my mind, a lot of them are still 35 years old. Maybe that's because Tom Cruise still looks 35 years old, but. you know, yeah, you see something, it's like, oh wait, no, they're like in their 50s now. They're not.
And stars are like 50 and over. You're exactly right. There's not many young stars. Like
last thing I want to comment, and again, not cast aspersions, but it's funny because I saw those trailers for the Indiana Jones movie. And I thought this looks pretty good. And there's Harrison Ford back in the saddle. But that moment when he gave out the Best Picture award, I was thinking, is he going to be able to carry this movie?
He's Indiana.
When he read those nominees, I tell you, like, he gave Christian Bale's Batman a run for his money. Like, the gritting that we couldn't record this episode last week because I sounded like that.
You were him. You had the Harrison Ford.
Yes, I had the swear to me.
I don't know what they'll do with his voice, but he is like 80, so I don't know. That's going to be very interesting.
I remember when Kingdom of the Crystal Skull came out, and I was like, I'm impressed that he's in there mixing it up. I'm doubly impressed now. In a good way. I mean, I'm excited, honestly, to see this movie. I'm looking forward to that.
I love Indiana. I'm going to be there opening weekend, absolutely.
But it was a lot of fun. Thank you guys for having me on both times. Anytime you want me back to rant and argue, it's always fun to rant and argue with you guys.
Thank you. Absolutely. I think we're going to do it again soon, and we're going to do that Oscar episode we talked about. I think that'd be a lot of fun. No, but yeah, thank you so much for joining us. We love always having you on. You're always, so much fun, and that was great. Gabe, anything else you want to say?
No, I mean, guys, send us an email. That's realtalkmoviecast@gmail.com, and tell us what your Oscar opinions are. Again, or go to our Facebook and tell us what your Oscar opinions are. Or if you hated the Oscars, tell us.
And if you hated our Oscar shows, we'll tell you.
Tell us about that too.
Just tell us something. Anything.
Tell us something on an email or Facebook.
Just people are out there listening, or we're talking into a great void.
But yeah. For us, that's a wrap.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right.